Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Taco Tuesday!
Here we go. That's the only thing that cheered me up this afternoon, Taryn. I got us some tacos. And they even messed up the order, and it was still fantastic. Like, they opened our horizons. We switched tacos, and we were both like... We got a lot of bad stuff to talk about today. We got a lot of angry stuff to talk about today. I don't like doing this show angry, but we don't really have a choice. But I will say, once again, if you're in Kenwood, if you're by the mall, right here in front of the radio station, there's a BP. Is it a BP? There's a BP, and there's a little taco truck located right next to it. It's delicious. And I usually get steak. Taryn usually gets chicken. But today, they reversed our orders. They put the onions on the steak and the cilantro on the chicken. So I had to eat the chicken. Taryn had to eat the steak. And now we both understand. I get why Taryn eats the chicken. Taryn gets why I eat the steak. They were both delicious. It actually worked out for the better. Because we mixed it up a little bit. So that's the only good thing that's happened in the past 21 hours since we went off the air. I was so aggravated, frustrated, upset last night. I couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned for 2 hours after that game. Reds lose 15-11. 15-11. Last night to the Mets in 11 innings. Another disaster from the bullpen. A game where, at times, it felt like the Mets were actively trying to let the Reds win. I left the studio last night. I stopped, picked up some food for the family and I, made the trek home back to Northern Kentucky, had dinner. By the time I turned on the game, by the time I got up to my office and turned on the game, 3-0 Mets. Okay, going to be one of those. Reds answer back. Next thing you know, it feels like the Reds are in control. They were not in control. They were not in control. Vlad Gutierrez, not a great night, gives up 5 runs. Turns it over to the bullpen. They give up 10. 10. Just an all-around frustrating evening to the core. Because that's a game the Mets didn't want to win. Go watch the first 3 or 4 innings, the way the Mets were kicking the ball around the infield, throwing the ball, slapping the ball around the infield. They gave the Reds, 5 free outs? A couple double play opportunities wasted? With errors, 4 errors for the Mets. And for the third time in 4 games, the Reds have a lead in the middle of the late innings, and they lose. And it's so hard. We've talked about this a million times. This is a team that fights and scraps and claws. This is a team that's fun to root for. Outside of the fact that ownership hung them out to dry. They did nothing to make this team better in the offseason. They've done nothing to make this team better throughout the season. And we're not talking about that nearly as much as we should be, are we? Because guess what? The team that's in first, they had some issues, and they tried to fix it. Immediately. Don't like what we got at shortstop. Go out and get a shortstop. Think we got some holes in the middle to the front of our bullpen? Go out and get bullpen help. Don't like what we're seeing at first base? Make a change. The Reds? I'm going to read you something. These are the active relievers in the Reds bullpen right now. You want to cry? Just listen to this list in its entirety. Sean Doolittle, Heath Embry, Ryan Hendricks, Brad Brock, Josh Oshich, Tony Santion, RJ Alanez, Edgar Garcia. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Reds bullpen. Before this season started, I bet none of you knew any of those names. Not one name. What, Sean Doolittle, maybe? He had a little bit of success. Heath Embry had a little bit of success. What? There's two guys in the entire bullpen? You had a clue were members of Planet Earth when this season started? And the front office thought, we're going to roll with that. The waiver wire edition of the Reds bullpen. These are almost all guys nobody else wanted. And you're supposed to be a team in a pennant race? You know what else? You know what else makes me mad? I looked at the standings. Checked out the standings. Guess what? The Cardinals are one game behind the Reds. The Cubs are two. The Reds are 2.5 games out of fourth place in this division. The Cubs aren't even trying to win. The Cubs want to sell their team. Every player. I saw a list. There's like 7 Cubs on the trading block. The Reds are only 2 games in front of the Cubs. 1 game in front of the Cardinals. I'm almost tempted to say, guess what? By the time we sign off Thursday, they'll be even, if not the Cardinals in front. Here's something else that's scary. Go look at the MLB.com. Guess who the Brewers are hosting at home this week? The Royals. The Royals that are 18 games under 500. Something else I'm mad about. We are in game 5 since the All-Star break, right, Taryn? 3 games lost to the Brewers, 1 game lost to the Cardinals. Taryn, I got a question. Who's been the most consistent pitcher in this Reds starting rotation throughout the 2021 season? Wade Miley, right? What happened the last time Wade Miley was on the mound, Taryn?
In 8 innings.
Went into the 9th. A 2-0 shutout against the Brewers, Wade Miley. They had 4 days off for the All-Star break. They returned from the All-Star break to play the Milwaukee Brewers. Guess how many innings Wade Miley pitched against the Brewers in that series?
0.
Guess how many innings he pitched yesterday against the Mets?
0.
Why is the guy that's the most consistent guy in your starting rotation not pitching until the 5th day you return from the All-Star break? He's got an ERA under 3. He just went 8 innings in his last start in Milwaukee and shut out the Brewers. And you're not pitching him until day 5? You better get the dump button ready today, Taryn. The bad words are at the tip of my tongue. One could slip at any time. I try to be happy and have fun on this show. Last night pushed me over the top because guess what? They're done. They're done. They're 7.5 back in the NL Central. There's no chance they're catching anybody from the NL West for the wild card. That's not happening. Go and look when this team has been 7, 8, 9 games out of first place this season. Look how long it has taken them when they've had these streaks where they're the hottest team in baseball and they make up 3 games. It takes 2 weeks to make up three games most of the time. They're going to consistently do that from now through August and September? You know that just as well as I do. You know how we know it? Joel Luckup posted this on Twitter today. Reds started the season 6-1. You know what they did after that? They went 3-11. They bounced back, won 10 of their next 17. Pretty good, right? Then they lost 3 of 9. They bounced back. They went 13-3 over a 16-game stretch. Then they go 4-9 over the next 13. Then they go 9-2 into the All-Star break. Hottest team in baseball into the break. They come out of it looking worse than the Bad News Bears. 0-4. What was hope? What was optimism? Flushed. I said yesterday, last night, in a moment of frustration, that today I just wasn't going to talk Reds. We'll talk Bengals and UC football. Someone, luckily, with more wisdom than I, pointed out tomorrow is a day game. There's a good chance when we go on the air tomorrow, we're going to be in need of counter-programming. So we're going to talk a lot of Bengals, a lot of UC tomorrow. I've got a couple of Bengals and UC items worked in to this show as well, because if I talk Reds for 3 hours, my head's going to explode. And I'm going to say a bad word on the air and probably get escorted from the facility. Because it ain't, if one slips out, Taryn, it ain't going to be a middle of the road one. That's not the kind of mood I'm in. It's going to be a bad one. So today, you're going to have to, if you want, 513-749-1530, 866-702-ESPN. Talk me off the ledge, or don't. Join me, because I'm ready to bury this team. And that stinks, because it's not their fault. It's not. It's ownership's fault. It's management's fault. This team is fighting with everything they've got. They just aren't armed with the right weapons. They got a pea shooter, and everybody else has got AR-15s. Let's take a break. Drew's on the line. He wants to talk Reds and taco trucks. I would much rather talk taco trucks than the Reds right now, because the taco truck brought me joy for lunch today. Right now, the Reds have not brought me joy. Do we cancel the season? Are we done? Are we done? Unfortunately, I do this, so I have to remain emotionally invested.
I need to call Jeff FFF Carr.
We might have to call Jeff FFF Carr. I think he's recording his podcast late today. He said that the podcast was going to be up later. Send Jeff FFF Carr a text and tell him that I need somebody with optimism to talk me off the ledge, because my feet are on the ledge. I'm ready to jump on this team. I'm ready to be out. Let's take a break. Drew, when we come back, you can join him. 513-749-1530. Let's be miserable together. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. You know this calmness goes. For some reason, calms me down. It's not what it should do. Most underrated rapper of his, like Little Window. He got overshadowed because he was in No Limit. If he just came out like a straight up solo act, Mystical would have been a much better.
It was, but this was before No Limit. This song was.
Yeah, this was. But I mean, in general, like. And see, that distracted me, because I was ready to come back and rant about how in the world are you going to use Mike Freeman last night with a runner on in scoring position, two outs, a chance to win the game, when Nick Castellanos is on the bench, and then you use Nick Castellanos in the 11th inning, and the Mets take batting practice and go up 15-10. And guess what? Mo Egger made a great point. I was talking to Mo before the show started. Mo Egger made a great point. Let's say there is something, not significantly, but something wrong with his hand that causes him to go on the disabled or the injured list. It's the injured list now. You would have been able to do it retroactive to Friday. He played last night. Now if he has to go on the IL, it's retroactive to last night. You just wasted 4 days of Nick Castellanos if you have to put him on the IL. And as it stands now, you're playing a man down. If you want to vent. I'm venting. I don't vent normally. Terrence, when's the last time you heard me vent like this? Have you ever heard me vent like this? I'm big mad. Drew, are you here to calm me down talking about taco trucks?
I am. Well, I just, I wanted, you said in Kenwood about that taco truck.
Yeah.
And when you said by the BP, I was like, I think that's the one in Pleasant Ridge that he's talking about.
Well, across from Kenwood Mall.
Okay. Okay, like, well, I don't know. I thought it was with the BP down Montgomery a bit by kind of like by the Goodfellas and stuff in Pleasant Ridge. Have you had that taco truck?
I have not had that one. This one is literally right as you come. If you're coming up 71 North, or 71 North, as soon as you get off the exit, it's the gas station on your right. It's across from an Arby's.
I think it might be the same ownership. If it's not, though, it would be worth trying out the BP on Montgomery down in Pleasant Ridge by the new Goodfellas and stuff. That
okay.
Little taco truck there.
I'm always down for a good taco truck. A good taco truck might be my favorite food, Drew.
I had some Mexicans working on my floors in my house, and they recommended it. They said it was fantastic, so I tried it, and it was delicious. But
have you had the Beata tacos?
I have.
What do you think? I haven't had them before. I see everybody talking about them now. I'm a steak taco guy. Should I try them?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. But another point I wanted to bring up. So I was going to call in. I tried calling in last week, and I was on the line waiting, but Mo got into, I don't know, I think it was guess the mascot fingernail or something at that point. I can't remember what it was. But I didn't get to ask. It was super hot, like last Friday. And in Red Stadium, it gets very, very hot, especially if you don't have forgivable seats. Have you ever been to Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium?
I have not.
Have you seen that they have, like, a pool inside their stadium?
I have seen that. There's a couple stadiums that are doing that now. I would guess those have to be, like, pretty high-end seats to get you access to the pool, right?
I would say, yeah, they probably are. But for like a super hot day, I think there's a few good spots in the Great American where they could put an awesome pool that would overlook and you'd be able to see the river and inside the stadium. And I kind of feel like you need something like that if you're going to watch this Reds team at this point.
Lots of booze. That's what I need right now.
Yeah, lots of booze and some nice pool weather, but where would you put a pool inside this Great American Ballpark if you could put one somewhere?
I mean, the most ideal spot would, I guess, be like where the steamboat is right now.
On top of the steamboat roof, would that be? I mean, might get in some legal trouble there, but that would be pretty amazing.
I mean, you'd probably have to do a lot to reinforce the steamboat to put a pool, but it wouldn't have to be like you're not putting an Olympic-sized pool up there.
Right, yeah, no, it would probably be like 4 feet deep, just something that, you know, with a glass front that you could go underwater, you could see through. That would be amazing.
I think that, I mean, you're at the highest point there outside of, like, the bleachers, right? In the outfield, at least. So you get a great view of the river, Newport, full view of the stadium, sitting from center field. That got to be pretty sweet.
Swim up bar.
Yeah. The batter's eye, I don't think you could squeeze it in there.
I would pay top-notch dollar for that, though. I really would. Maybe a little taco joint, Kenwood taco truck.
I'd throw a taco truck in the Red Stadium. I'm all for that.
No, like, well, maybe it might be a little messy if we connected that to the pool.
True. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Drew, I appreciate you keeping my mind off of talking about this team for a little bit.
Hey, man, my pleasure. We're all there with you. We're in this boat together.
It's so painful right now. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
A pool in the outfield somewhere. I don't really know where the ideal place would be. We did. Taryn booked a guest. Jeff FF Carr from the Locked On Reds podcast. Jeff FF Carr from Locked On Reds is going to join us at 4:30. He's going to try to calm me down. Caller Chris, let Taryn know the best spot for a pool, the Reds bullpen. Those guys don't need to cool off. They're already cooled off the minute they come into the game. Is he trying to drown them all? You can't see the river from down in there. Maybe you put it over top of the Reds bullpen, and then the risk, you put one of those glass bottom pools over top of the Reds bullpen. And then if things go terribly wrong, it just crashes down into the bullpen. That's why I love this show. Such a great job of taking my mind off of things and getting laughs on a day like today when laughing is hard. Oh, boy. Let's take a break. When we come back, sadly, this team deserves better. That's what stinks. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Married, this is your theme song. I just had a college basketball friend of mine from the South, Taryn, who hit me up and was like, Mystical, let's go! Sits in his office and streams me and Mo. Love it. I was always one that like tried to memorize lyrics when I was younger. You almost had to go cheat sheet and like look them up with Mystical. Almost had to go cheat sheet. Greg on Twitter says, let's see what you think of this analogy, Taryn. The Reds are like a strip club. Plenty of entertainment, but you just never get the payoff. I mean, maybe this Reds team. The problem with the Reds teams over the past, like, 7 years is you weren't at a very good strip club. Those might be the places you get the better payoff. All right, enough. Enough. I'm destined to get myself in trouble today. I can feel it. I can feel it. Anything to get a laugh, because laughter is what we need after last night. The lineup is out for today, Taryn. You know who's not in it? Nick Castellanos is not in today's lineup. Remember Friday? It's a one-day thing. I wish they would stop doing that. Stop! Looks like a one-day thing. Should be back pretty soon. Unavailable Saturday, unavailable Sunday. Should have been either use him at a high leverage situation or don't use him on Monday. With one hand, he hit the ball 340 feet. India leading off, Winker second, Votto third, Aquino. Aquino, who they didn't trust enough to hit in the late innings, in the extra innings, and instead used him as a ghost runner and hit Mike Freeman. That's how much they think of Aquino last night. Today they think so much of him, he's hitting cleanup. This is my head banging against the mic. Make this make sense to me. Naquin hitting fifth, Suarez sixth. At least we get to see Gino again. I think Tony said it right. Tony had a caller that said it right, or Tony, one of the two, I can't remember. Would have been better if he just didn't take the bat off his shoulder six times yesterday. First and second, no outs. You're in a position to win the game. He hits into a double play. I don't know how you can keep doing it. I like the guy. One of the more likable guys on this roster, a roster full of likable guys. Our good friend Mike DeCourcy opined yesterday that because of Suarez, we should now get rid of the Mendoza line. The Mendoza line is anybody hitting under 200, named after, I don't remember his first name, but Mendoza. The Suarez line should be 175. If you're hitting under 175, you're hitting under the Suarez line. But there he is, batting sixth, playing third. Barnhart behind the plate, Farmer at short, Miley on the mound. Think about this. Think about this, Taryn. You had a guy yesterday get on base six times. Six. Jonathan India was on base six times yesterday. You had another guy get five hits. Five hits for Tyler Naquin. Five. One, two, three, four, five. Five times. Five times. Five times. Tyler Naquin got a hit yesterday. The Reds lost. This team deserves better. When's the last time we had a Reds team that was likable, that was fun to watch? What, 2013? 2012? Almost a decade since we've had a team you've enjoyed watching. And management has cut them off at the knees. Completely cut them off at the knees. No opportunity to consistently be good. You know, here's the formula. We go back to that, you know, they play a stretch where they're eight games over, and then they play a stretch where they're eight games under. And they play a stretch where they're four games over. They play a stretch where they're five games under. That's not, you know how good teams accumulate wins? Is they have their hot stretches, and the Reds have had their hot stretches. When they cool off, they play 500, right? They play even baseball when they cool off. And then they have those two or three stretches throughout a year where they go 13-3, or they go 9-2. And those numbers end up being basically the difference in how many games that team ends up over 500. But those are teams that are constructed well. Those are teams that don't have one such glaring hole that anything that goes wrong sets off the entire balance. Because the truth is, while the bullpen has been bad, what's been the most different about this stretch is that the starting pitching hasn't really got the job done, right? They're not going deep outside of Castillo. Malley, Gray, and Gutierrez all gave up five runs in their starts since coming back from the break. They're not being pitch efficient. They're throwing too many balls. And what does that lead to? That leads to getting into your bullpen in the fifth inning instead of the seventh inning or the eighth inning when you get a good quality start from your starter. But if you're constructed well, you know what you can do? You can overcome a starter having a bad day or a bad turn through your rotation because your bullpen can pick them up. This bullpen can't pick you up. This bullpen actually kicks you while you're down and you're on the same team. Oh, yeah, rough day, huh? Ooh, there's a kidney shot. Sorry, I had the steel toe boots on today. Forgot about that. It's like that Chappelle Show skit when Keeping It Real goes wrong and the guy's looking at his girlfriend, right? What you looking at, son? Turns out Larry was a 12th degree black belt. They got the dummy and he's bent over and he kicks him in the small of the back. That's what the bullpen does to the starting pitching when the starting pitching isn't working right. And can someone please explain why after going 8 innings against the Brewers going into the All-Star break, scoreless, that we haven't seen Wade Miley until tonight? Please? Please explain? They're aware that they started the second half against the Brewers, right? Maybe throw him in there one time? Maybe? See if he can do it again. The Brewers are a team that hit fly balls. A lot of fly balls. You know what Wade Miley doesn't do? Give up a lot of fly balls. He gets ground balls. Maybe that would have been smart. I don't know. Maybe using him last night instead of Vlad Gutierrez would have been smart. And pitching Vlad in game two. I don't know. I'm just talking out loud here into this little microphone that they give me to talk out loud into. Trying to make sense of it. None of it makes sense. Freeman batting twice with runners in scoring position and two outs and a chance to win the game. I know that's not the best you can do. I know it's not. Aquino is a pinch runner with Freeman at the plate. What are we doing? Woosah, Taryn. Woosah. I don't like sitting here and yelling into the mic. It's not my style. My style's laughing. I'm talking about food at gas stations. Somehow I stole that whole shtick from Richard Skinner. I don't know how that happened. Probably from being around him for so many years, talking about eating egg rolls at gas stations. Let's take a break. When we come back, this is when we should have known that the Castellini ownership was a joke. More after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. We need to do a podcast. Well, you can't do them on podcasts anymore because they'll DMCA you on. We need to do something where we don't have a censor on the music. Because it's just not the same, like, West Side. Like, I know what the words there are, but we can't hear them. I'm just saying.
Even on social media, that you can't even play music no more.
No.
Like when you go live.
You get DMCA'd. Like, you're done for. There goes your account. You can't do it on Twitch. You can't do it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. They're hunting it down. Everybody's been pretty hard on Bob Castellini, right? Rightfully so. The gig is up as far as Bob Castellini is concerned in this town. He built a team that should have been a contender and then decided to only go halfway, or heck, even two-thirds of the way. They're most of the way there. They aren't far off. This was one of those things that was jumping around in my brain last night as I laid in bed and tossed and turned for 2 hours and couldn't sleep. You know what we should have known? that this guy had no clue what he was doing? We should have known as the first couple years of Joey Votto's contract played out. Let me clarify. Huge Joey Votto fan. One of the two or three best hitters in franchise history. Will go in the Hall of Fame. And I'm thrilled that we've had him for his whole career. This is not Joey Votto slander. This is Bob Castellini slander. Okay? Here's why. 2010, they extend Joey Votto. At the time, Joey Votto had 2 years on his deal remaining. Those 2 years remained. And the 10-year deal started in 2013, I believe. Right? You with me so far? The Reds fire sale that completely gutted the franchise happened as a culmination of things in 2013 and 2014, right? They stripped the franchise down to the guts. They were essentially, for 5 years, playing a glorified AAA team at the major league level. Except for maybe the best hitter in the game in Joey Votto. How short-sighted do you have to be to not realize that you were going to have to pull the reins back and have to restart? As a management team, you had to know you weren't going to be able to keep Cueto and Volquez and Bruce and Frazier and Homer Bailey and Mike Leake, and the list goes on and on. Zach Cozart, the list goes on and on and on, right? You knew you weren't going to be able to keep all those guys. What was the end result? You wasted like 4 years, 5 years of the prime of Joey Votto. You were paying him premium dollars. $20 million 2016, $22 million 2017, $25 million 2018, $25 million 2019. Those teams sucked. What were you doing? If you're going to commit that much time and that much money to a player, you have to do it knowing you're in a position to compete throughout that man's contract. That's the only way you give somebody a 12-year, basically a 14-year extension. Happened in 2010. There are options and whatnot on his contract to go through 2024. And you just decided in the middle of it, we're going to tank for 5 years and just catch. Essentially, they caught $20, $25 million a year on fire from 2016 to 2019. And gave one of the best hitters of this generation no chance to win. That's when we should have known, right, that this was incompetent ownership. That's when we should have known. And I think in the back of our minds, we did know, didn't we? This franchise, or this the payroll is at $90 million, and Joey Votto is basically getting a third of it. We knew. The problem at that point was they were so bad, nobody cared. Or they cared, but everything was directed as hate towards Joey Votto. Remember 2016, 2017, 2018? Why can't he drive in more runs? Because the team on the field stinks and there's nobody on base. That's why he can't drive in more runs. That wasn't his fault. Just like what's happening to this bullpen is not ultimately the fault of the guys in that bullpen. There's a reason all of those guys were cut from somewhere else. They were paid to go away, Taryn. All of them have been paid to go away. Unless they're a rookie. Please go away, sir. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. That's the Reds bullpen motto. That's what Bob Castellini has given us because he wanted to go cheap. You know what would have happened if they'd have gone out and got a couple extra arms, two, three arms, legit arms for the bullpen, and could have done it for probably $10, $12 million, one-year deals, things like that. When you have a guy like Antone go down, you have somebody ready to step up that you know is a proven commodity. You don't have to try seven different vagabonds to find out if one of them can stick. Because that's what we've seen. Just a revolving door of scrap heap. Oh, well, that guy got two outs. Let's make him the closer. It's maddening. Here's one of the things I said last night. You're listening to the TV broadcast. They brought Heath Embry in late in the game when they didn't have a lead. And Sadak is like, can't believe they're bringing him in a situation where they don't have the lead. This is a guy that, you know, they use in games that they're winning. He's 2-4 with an ERA just south of 5. And you're touting him as the best arm in your pen? Maybe because he is. Not that it's wrong. But, blech. Let's take a break. More after this. Cincinnati's ESPN, 1530.
Are you ready for some football? We are.
This is Dave Lapham, and you're listening to the home of the Bengals, ESPN 1530.
Truth be told, I wasn't ready for some football. 4 days ago, I was ready to have some fun with another couple weeks of baseball before camp started. Not now! Thank you for choosing me. Yeah, us. It's an us. Taryn and I are a package deal. Thank you for choosing us. If I had my own show, I'd fight Mo for you. I don't know what kind of fight it would be. We have to go in the octagon?
No, I'll go down to the grill.
Okay.
Get some beers going.
Well, but so we'd just fight like in the middle of the grill, like a bar fight?
Oh, no, we don't fight. Just down the most beers.
Oh, I can't drink beer now.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
My body has rejected beer. So we're going to have to come up with some other kind of competition. I don't have a show, so we don't have to do anything yet. I'm saying if I had a show. Luckily, you know, this is Mo's show. I fill in from time to time, and you're almost always here, so it works out. Let's get to some Bengals this hour. You want to talk Bengals? I was told everybody's going to be mad and everybody's going to be calling in and talking Reds today. Drew called in and he wanted to know where we should put the pool in Great American Ballpark. That's the only Reds call we've had today. Is that apathy already? After these 4 days, disgust? I'm curious, because I was ready to talk Bengals and Bearcats all day. But I was told, days like this, got to hammer the Reds. The people will be lining up. Talked Reds for an hour. I get the sense that people are ready to stick a fork in this team. after another gut punch, losing 15-11 in 11 innings. In a game they led, they trailed, they led, they trailed, they led, they tied, extra innings. And then it gets blown open. Another question from last night. Why did they take Garcia out, the new kid? Edgar Garcia. I kind of liked his stuff. He wasn't perfect. Of course he's not perfect. He's in this Reds bullpen. He was perfect. He was somewhere else making real money. But the latest in of the reclamation projects, Edgar Garcia, lifted with two outs and two on in the top of the 11th. Ryan Hendricks comes in. Hendricks, who had pitched in each of the last three games. Bell said he wanted to avoid using him. He used him anyway. Smack, smack, ball game. Back-to-back home runs. Pilar, Conforto, stick a fork in them, they're done. Problem if you're David Bell is, what choices do you have? All of your choices stink. Stink. Let's read the list again. You want to feel some real pain today? These are the members of the Reds bullpen. Currently active. Sean Doolittle, Heath Hembree, Ryan Hendricks, Brad Brock, Josh Oshich, Tony Santillan, RJ Alanez, Edgar Garcia. You couldn't... What Willie used to say about Mike Thomas, the old UC athletic director, you couldn't find any of these guys with a search warrant, mainly because you don't know what they look like. I'm sure they're all fine gentlemen. None of them should be pitching on a contender trying to battle its way into the playoffs through August and September. None of them. That's not their fault. That's management's fault. These guys are just trying to make a living. Of course they're going to show up. Of course they're going to get paid. What do you think they're going to say? Appreciate the call, Nick Kroll. But I don't think I'm good enough to pitch at that level. That'd be like the commercial where the kid admits to the ref that the ball was out on him. A little punk.
Worst commercial ever.
I hate that kid. We hate that kid because nobody does that. It's the ref's job to make the call. If he got it wrong, oh well. Human error. It's Nick Kroll's job to find the talent for this team, and it's Bob Castellini's job to give him the money to make sure that that talent's worth the crap. Guess which part hasn't happened? Bob in Florence. Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
I'm in a bad mood today, Bob.
I was actually at the game. We were in the first row behind the Reds dugout.
did you yell to put Castellanos in when he sent Mike Freeman to the plate?
I'm not a Reds fan, but I was asking my buddy right next to me why they pinch ran Aquino to put up Mike Freeman to bat.
Batting Aquino fourth today, Bob.
That don't make any sense.
They think so much of Aquino, he's not worth hitting in a game-winning situation, but he's good enough to hit fourth the next day. I don't understand it. I
don't get it either. But, you know, Chad, I think the thing that I don't really get, and maybe it's because he's not pitching well, but how can you have a guy like Hunter Green in Louisville and your bullpen is just so poor? The Cardinals a few years ago brought up Jordan Hicks, who had only pitched in single A, but had 102 2-mile-an-hour fastball. And the dude had about 30 saves that year.
I don't think that they were confident that – I mean, a thing you have to remember about Hunter Green, he missed 2 years. So it doesn't matter the level of competition that they had been at in that situation. You have a young guy that hasn't pitched much at any level. It hasn't pitched at all in the 2 years prior to this one. His development long-term is more important than having him up here and getting his head knocked around because he throws it 100 miles, but he throws it 100 miles an hour straight.
You sound like you work for the Reds right now, Chad.
No, I don't. I would be all for it if I thought he could come up here and get outs.
Well, you know what? Who up here right now is getting outs?
Yeah, but I don't know that you mortgage the future for what I don't think is an improvement. Now, Nick Lodolo, I think we've seen more. Now, he had an injury, unfortunately, that set him back a little bit. I think we've seen more from Nick Lodolo that he's ready to get major league batters out.
Well, you know what? If you can bring up Garcia and the list of all the other guys.
Yeah, I just think the problem with that is, Bob, the development of Hunter Green is the next wave of this organization. And while I would love to see him up here just for the storylines, it would make for good radio more than anything. I got the hiccups out of nowhere. I just don't know that throwing him to the Wolves makes this team any better right now, unfortunately.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It makes them more interesting, for sure.
Well, and I'm not even talking from an interest standpoint. I'm not a Reds fan, but quite honestly, I mean, the guy could come up here and save 10 games in a row just as easy as he could fall on his face. You're not asking him to start games.
I know, but you're asking him to be ready to be your ace, and it's a guy that hasn't pitched. You're asking him in 2 years, by 2023, you're going to want him near the top of your rotation, and you have to be careful in figuring out what the right path for him is after Tommy John surgery and missing 2 years. I think that's the element that we're not factoring in here enough when we talk about Hunter Green.
You have to make sure.
The other problem is, I think development-wise, he's going to be out of innings soon. So, for a guy that didn't pitch for 2 years, how many innings can you really pitch him this year? And if you bring him up and you get comfortable, let's say over the next like 3 or 4 weeks using him, and then you have to shut him down. So I just don't know that he fits this year, or at least where we're at right now. Hell, I'm almost ready to say sell, Bob.
Well, and you know what? They're probably almost close to saying sell. But, you know, it seems to me, man, they're still an outside shot. And while you have one, I understand about the guy's development and all that, but as I mentioned to you, the Jordan Hicks guy from the Cardinals 2 years ago, he was in Class A. So
yeah,
if you take that jump, you can certainly make the jump from Double or Triple A.
Yeah, but did he have 2 years where he didn't pitch?
Well, actually, he's had about 2 years where he didn't pitch now because he had Tommy John surgery.
And there you go, Bob.
Yeah, there you go, but he's already had it.
Okay.
So, no, I think you're right.
Guys have blown the elbow out more than once.
Well, I'm aware of that, but you know what? If you want any chance at all at this year, you better do something pretty quickly. And
I don't think they're going to, unfortunately. Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you completely, Bob. I just think with their plans long-term for Hunter Green and this being really the first year he's pitched in 3 years, I just think you have to treat him differently. And if I was focused on anybody to come up and get outs right now, it would be Lodolo. He was a college guy. He's got more experience. You know, I think you'd be much better off relying on him to come up and get you major league outs at this point.
I don't disagree with that, Chad.
So I wouldn't be against that at all. They got the deal in the minors who nobody can hit, and they won't bring him up.
Well, you know what? I wonder, too, if they are so concerned about money down the road that they don't want to pay the guy for this year.
Probably. I mean, I'm sure that starting his clock comes into the equation when the, when the front office talks about Hunter Green as well.
That's turned into the equation, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I would probably completely agree with that. You know, it's been talked about for sure.
Oh yeah. All right, Chad.
All right, appreciate it. It's not that I would be like livid if we looked and Hunter Green was on this roster tomorrow in the bullpen. I just think long term for his development as a starter, especially for a guy that's been that missed 2 years of major or two years of pitching at any level. I think you have to be careful. I don't know that putting him in high leverage situations is what you need to do with him yet. Now, he seems like a kid that can handle it, but I don't know. Let's talk a little Bengals when we come back. We'll introduce this topic and probably carry it on a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour. We have Jeff F.F. Carr coming up at 4:30 as well. Let's take a quick break. More after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. Welcome back, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. I'm Chad Brendel. He's Taren Bland on the ones and twos. I'm going to call an audible, Taren. I'm going to call an audible.
Omaha! Omaha!
We'll get to let's save the Bengals for 5 o'clock hour. We don't have a lot of time here. I don't want to squeeze it in and not get the full conversation that I want to have. So let's move the Bengals to the start of the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll get to Jeff Carr here in a few minutes. NBA Finals tonight, Taren. I asked you before the show. Did you get a chance to look up Mike DeCourcy's article on Chris Paul from today? No? No?
Doing it now.
Okay. It's about Chris Paul as a dirty player. And how he shoved Giannis at the end of the alley-oop in a very dangerous play the other night. Go Bucks tonight. Game six, NBA Finals. They are in Phoenix. They're in Milwaukee. Right? I'm confused. The Bucks won game five in Phoenix. Is that correct, Taren? So tonight is in Milwaukee with a chance to close it out. I'm pulling for the Bucks. Mainly because Chris Paul's dirty. Always has been, always will be. And there's no place for the stunts that he pulls in a civilized society. He punches grown men in the junk. There's no place for that in a civilized society, Taren. Real quick before we get to break, Eddie wants to talk about the Reds. Eddie, vent away.
Oh, man, Chad, I'm having a bad day. I'm bucking my head to the wall.
Me too.
It just sucks that ownership and front office is wasting another a good season, a season in which the Reds are supposed to be contending. This is supposed to be the window, right? 2020, 2021, that's the window, right?
Well, yeah, but they went halfway.
Yeah, you either rebuild or you don't rebuild. You can't just go in the middle and say you're not doing either one.
Here's the crazy thing, Eddie. Who do you think has a bigger payroll this year, the Reds or the Brewers?
I'm going to say the Reds.
By how much would you guess? How much more you think the Reds are spending on this roster than the Brewers are spending on their roster?
I would say between 10 and 20 million.
30.
Well, that was close, 30.
$30 million. You're all in at that point. What are you cost-cutting for? You have put your chips on the table and then decided to take some back. Like, it doesn't make any sense, Eddie.
It doesn't. And they're wasting an MVP season with Castellanos, who's probably, I'd be willing to bet, he's going to walk after this year, after putting up this practice.
Of course he is.
he needs to go on record and just let them have it and say, hey, if you guys aren't going to go out and get some bullpen to help this team out, I'm walking. He just needs to say that right now.
I wish you would, but that's not who Nick Castellanos is, so it's not going to happen.
You're wasting a great season by a winter. You're having a good catching duel. You're going to lose Miley. I think Miley's a free agent this year, is he not?
He's either a free agent or he's got an option. Barnhart's got an option.
Right. This is the season. After the season, the Reds are going to go back to having nobody next year and go back to rebuilding for another 10 years.
Like, well, yeah, what they'll do is they'll say that they're restructuring and waiting for the development of Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo as the next wave, right? That's what's next.
It's kind of like they're having to rebuild the rebuild. It's what it feels like.
Yeah, because they stopped. They hit the pause button right when it was time to hit the go button.
Yeah. And had you went out and got one or two bullpen arms, this team would probably be where the Brewers are right now, if not close to it.
Yeah,
not
two bullpen arms and a shortstop, and you solve almost all the problems that this team has had this season.
Yeah, they did the same thing with the shortstop position, the bullpen help. They went out and got scraps. I think they tried to sign a Kyle, was that a Kyle Holder? Alex Blandino? I mean, Scott Hyman, Mike Freeman? Like, what are they doing here? This is like players you get when you're like rebuilding.
Well, that's the thing that I haven't hit on yet today, that if you look, this bullpen looks like the bullpen of those 95 lost teams.
Yeah, it's a revolving door. Like, you can list off all the pitchers that have come and gone this year in the bullpen. What, Cam Pedrosian, Carson Fulmer? I mean, they get him the next day after they put him in a high-level situation. Like, what are we doing here?
CNL Perez has been on this roster 37 times. He hasn't been good enough in any of them.
How many times can you bring up a guy and sit him down before you realize he's not a pitcher? He's not a major league pitcher. He's not even a triple-A pitcher.
Right.
But wait. We got good news. Tomorrow, Jeff Halpin's starting. Oh, yay.
Oh, you just ruined my day, Eddie. That's right.
Sorry, Chad. I didn't mean to pull the dagger, but he gave up four runs in his last rehab start, and single A. Not double A, not triple A, single A. He gave up four runs, but he's pitching tomorrow against the first-place Mets.
Damn it, Eddie. So, I had suppressed that in my memory that was happening on Wednesday.
And like you said, Wade Miley should have started one of those games against the Brewers. Didn't he throw eight innings or nine innings of shutout baseball?
He pitched into the ninth, shutout baseball.
A series in which I think the series that they got swept against the Brewers, I think that was pretty much the dagger right there. I think that was pretty much their season right there.
I think you're right. I think you stick a fork in this team. I got to take a break, Eddie. I appreciate it, man. Great call.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Damn it, Eddie. Jeff Hoffman does start tomorrow. Ah! Let's go to break. Jeff FF Carr when we come back. More after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. I know Jeff FF didn't request this as his intro song, did he? Welcome back. It's the Mo Egger Show here on Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. I'm Chad Brendel sitting in through Thursday. Mo will be back on Friday. You can find me on Twitter at Chad Brendel. You can find my work at BearcatJournal.com. I should have planned that out better. You can find me on Twitter. What's my name? At Chad Brendel. I didn't think that out. I thought this out. When I'm having a bad Reds day, when I'm frustrated, when I'm down, when I'm feeling a little pessimistic, a little glass half empty, the cure is almost always to call my good friend, Jeff FF Carr, from the Locked On Reds podcast, to get him to talk me through it, to get him to ease my nerves. You've got a tall task today, Jeff, not only because of last night, but because caller Eddie just reminded me that tomorrow is Jeff Hoffman against Marcus Stroman.
Well, that's the whole pessimism idea. That's like every other day, though, isn't it, Jeff?
No, I try to stay positive. I was right about why I was had my doubts about this team back in February, right?
Well, yeah, because you said the bullpen. And there has never been a more overt, glaring, massive, huge black hole on any team ever than the 2021 Cincinnati Reds and their bullpen.
Well, here's the problem, Jeff, and I just talked about this with caller Eddie that ruined my day. They've had bullpens this bad before. It's just that it was on teams that were really bad as well. Like 2017, the bullpen stunk. But right. So did the entire organization in 2017. This team, Nick Castellanos, Jesse Winker, Jonathan India, Stevenson, this team does not deserve what this bullpen is giving them.
No, and that, I mean, you named the beginning of the positivity because the lineup still bangs. Joey bangs, Castellanos bangs, Winker bangs, India walks and sometimes bangs and gets hit by pitches as well. But it is a lineup that you can hang your hat on day in and day out that they are going to be in the game. I mean, Corbin Burns had a very awesome day on Sunday, but they haven't really met a challenge that has shut them down like that very often this season, maybe two or three other times that you can point to. But for the most part, the lineup is what keeps them in this. And Chad, before we even get into it, I believe that they're going to make a move. I believe they will.
Is that move going to be trading Nick Castellanos?
No. Adding to the bullpen, Chad. Adding to the bullpen. Come on.
You're arranging deck chairs on the Titanic right now, Jeff.
I think that they can make those moves. You look at teams like...
But can they make up 7.5 games on the Brewers?
Yeah, and they can do it with the schedule that they have in these last 2 months if they shore up that bullpen.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem I see with that plan, Jeff. They have to get to the trade deadline, and they might be 12 back by the time they get to the trade deadline at this rate.
See, here's the thing, though. This is what I'm thinking, Chad. When it comes to positivity with the Cincinnati Reds, they're going to make some moves because here's the deal. Ownership sees that people want this team to do well. Ownership sees that the lineup is talented and we have some nice starting pitchers that can really give us good outings, you know, yesterday notwithstanding for Goody. But ownership sees that people love this team and they see the way that the last 5 years before 2020 has gone, and they understand that fans will leave in droves if they don't. Fans will completely tune out this team if they sit on their hands and do nothing. And I'm not talking about wait until July 30th. I'm talking about right now. And if they are not on the phone right now, fans will be out, and they have every right to be out. But that is why they're in. That is why there will be a couple of moves made. And by the time that we're at the end of maybe next week, which I think next week might be July 30th, but by the time we're at the end of next week, we're talking about this team being exactly where they need to be.
Yeah, but if they're 12 games out, it's malpractice to buy. Isn't it? It's malpractice to give up pieces for the future if you can't catch the Brewers. Like, we've seen them go on streaks for 3 weeks and be the hottest team in baseball, and they make up like 4 games on Milwaukee. They got to make up 7.5 games, Jeff, and I want to believe that they can sustain a run, but every time they go on a run, it's answered with a 10-game stretch where they go 3-7, and they give it all back.
That's why I think
that's what happens when you build a bad roster, Jeff FF.
Well, the roster just boils down to that bullpen and maybe a fifth starter or something like that.
And not having Mike Freeman hit with a runner in scoring position and 2 outs.
Yeah, well, I mean, not every move makes sense. I mean, that's for sure. There were some questions there, like why on earth did he wait till the 11th to bring in Castellanos when you had Shogo at the plate in the 10th, and he could have done something there, but, you know, whatever. I still think that Castellanos isn't 100%. You saw that swing that he hit. He still hits it to the warning.
It's 340 feet. One hand.
But the reaction on that hit, the bat, there was a lot of reactionary movement on Castellanos' part.
Yeah.
Where if you watch his other home runs, he goes right through that ball. There's no ricochet effect like you saw last night. So I think that wrist is still a little tender, still a little weak.
Well, here's the beautiful part. Here's the good news, Jeff. if it turns out that that wrist is still tender and going to need some time, when they put him on the injured list, he's only retroactive to last night instead of Friday. So he'll get a couple extra days rest just to make sure.
That's one thing that is definitely a knock on David Bell. Look, I think David Bell has earned the extension this year, but one knock on David Bell is that he's a little bit over-optimistic with the whole injury things, the injury timelines. Because remember, they
just shut up.
They kind of messed around with Moose before they finally put him on the IL, and we haven't seen or heard any good news about him coming off the IL since then.
They do this every time, like to the point now when somebody comes out and they say he should be good by tomorrow, I'm expecting to see him in 6 weeks. Because it feels like that's what happens, like the night of, I think
he should be all right. We'll get him looked at and maybe give him a day tomorrow, but he should probably be back by Thursday.
What he meant was Thursday, 6 weeks from now.
Well, I tell you what, though. I love the fact that Nick Senzel's been playing shortstop, and I think it's a little
Can
bit
he play third?
Late. I think it's a little bit late for that. I mean, he should have been doing that in spring, obviously, but I like the fact that they're going to add that versatility to him.
Can he play third?
He can play everywhere.
Well, we need a What do you do with Eugenio Suarez? This has gotten to the point, and yes, he's had a couple big moments, but it's embarrassing to him, I would think, the product that he's putting on the field right now.
Chad, you know me. You introduced me as the injection of positivity that you look for. I think I'm running out of positivity to inject where it comes to Eugenio Suarez. Last night, especially early on in the game last night, was the game that you use to get right. The game that you get a couple of hits, and you really start to build some momentum for yourself. He didn't get any.
He left nine on base.
It was a bad night at the plate. He had that double play in extras where just absolutely killed that rally, which I still thought they had a shot with Joey on third, but when you boil it down to it, you get a single and you're good to go. But he's hitting weak pop flies if he makes contact, and I just don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. It's been pretty much, I mean, you only had 60 games last year, but pretty much two full seasons of very mediocre, sometimes sub-mediocre performances.
What's the move? Like, what can they do? Obviously, if you could get Moustakas back, that's a pretty easy solution there. But we haven't heard of Mike Moustakas. We don't know if Mike Moustakas is alive right now.
We're
getting reports on Senzel and Blandino. And like, Mike Moustakas has been missing for like a month.
Whenever they talked about the fact that his plantar fascia in his foot was torn, I was like, ooh, this is definitely going to take him a lot longer than any 10-day IL stint would cover. But you're right. We haven't heard any sort of rehab mentions or any, even if he's like running or taking grounders or anything like that. So I'm not sure there. I honestly thought that Alejo Lopez was going to be brought up to kind of push him a little bit, but they didn't do anything with that. It's like they gave him a couple of starts, and he still looked a little bit like deer in the headlights when it came to getting at-bats. And they're like, okay, well, that's it. That's all we needed to see. So, all right, we'll send him back down, and we'll keep Mike Freeman. I do totally agree with you there. I don't understand the play of keeping Mike Freeman up instead of Alejo Lopez. So I thought that that was the plan. But you basically have to wait for guys like Senzel and Moustakas to get healthy before you can really come up with an alternative to Eugenio Suarez. Because right now, it's almost tough to say, but you got to keep playing him while there's no one else.
If Alejo Lopez looks like a deer in headlights, right now Eugenio Suarez looks like a deer that got hit by a semi last night.
It is rough to watch. I mean, there's some at-bats that it just looks like he walks up there and he's like, I'm swinging at every single pitch. And then there's some at-bats where he's like, I'm going to walk this at-bat. And then he watches a fastball down the middle.
Right. That's the maddening thing. He's swinging at pitches that he can't hit and taking pitches that he should hit. Another thing that I need calmed down on today. Can you explain to me in any way, shape, or form why Wade Miley was made the number five guy coming out of the break?
I think it's simply for the fact of the whole juggling a 60-game season and then going right back to a normal season the year after. They're trying to extend the guys' off days. That's why Jeff Hoffman is even pitching out of the rotation tomorrow. Like, we all know that when you talk about the best five starters on this franchise, Jeff Hoffman's not one of them. So if you extend it to a six-day rotation type thing, that's where Jeff Hoffman at least comes into the discussion. But when it comes to Wade Miley, I thought it would have been nice to have him start that Mets series, but I understand for his health, and we see the complete difference of a healthy Wade Miley versus the unhealthy Wade Miley that was in 2020. So if they can manage it by a day or two and extend his health for the rest of the year, then that's only going to help the Reds.
Jeff.
It's all about health, man.
Jeff, can you remind me what Wade Miley did in his last start before the All-Star break?
He was phenomenal.
Against?
The Brewers.
Who did they play before this series?
The Brewers.
You got to get him a start against the Brewers. You start him the third game. Like, what? You get him a couple days there. You got to start Wade Miley against the Brewers. He went into the ninth inning scoreless.
Here's my thought on that, though. The three most talented pitchers on this roster pitch. Yes, Wade Miley's had better numbers this year, but if you stack them up, how are you going talent-wise? Castillo, Gray, Miley.
I'm pitching Wade Miley against the Brewers.
I think it would have been interesting to see if he could duplicate that performance there, but I understand why they didn't do it.
How many runs did Tyler Mahle give up against the Brewers this week?
It wasn't great.
How about Sonny Gray?
More than you like.
I just think Wade Miley is a guy that, because of the way he pitches, I like Wade Miley against the Brewers, and we didn't get to see it.
He's definitely been their most consistent performance this season so far.
Yeah, run it back. Run it back, yeah. Jeff FFFF.
So I'm hoping tonight he can give them at least seven, hopefully eight.
Yeah, because tomorrow you got Jeff Hoffman and Marcus Stroman. Advantage Mets.
it's going to be hotly contested. I think that Jeff Hoffman really only has one start to prove what his worth is at the beginning of a game.
Yeah, I hope it's not one too many. I hope that that experiment works out, because I'm on this microphone tomorrow afternoon, and boy, it's going to be hot.
Here's my question to you, because I have seen this take, and we've seen the R word going around social media and rebuild. What do you think that looks like? Because if they gut this team, I feel like with the guys that they have coming up next season, and Hunter Green, Nick Lodello, and Jose Barrero, that they don't need to gut this team. Sure, it'll be a disappointing year. We want them to make the playoffs. It's basically the baseline for what we said would be a successful season of them making it to the playoffs this year. But if they don't, I definitely do not agree that they need to tear it down.
The problem is, are they willing to do what it takes to build it up, which is build a bullpen? And if they're not, then you got to sell.
And they've already shown that they have some wavering loyalty to that idea.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. Where can they find the podcast? Where can they find you on social?
Chad, thanks for having me, sir. You can find the podcast everywhere you get your podcast. Plus, we're on YouTube now. Just check out Locked On Reds. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jeff Carr with three Fs. And you can follow the show at Locked On Reds.
That's why I call him Jeff FF Carr. Three Fs, J-E-F-F-F, Carr, on Twitter. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Great stuff.
Chad, thanks again, man.
That's Jeff Carr, Locked On Reds. We got to take a break. Brenneman and Jones on baseball coming up. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Taco Tuesday!
Taco Tuesday is about the only thing saving us. I had Taryn's chicken tacos. He had my steak tacos. We were both very happy. It doesn't happen very often. You get somebody else's food, and it's still good. Do we even want to listen to that? Do we want to subject the people to that sound, Taryn? It's just going to make people more mad. I wanted to talk some football in this hour, but... David Bell has spoken to the media. One of the topics was Nick Castellanos and his ability, his availability. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. We'll listen to that here in a minute. Taryn's getting that ready for me in the back. Let's go to a call because we're going to get to Bengals this hour. We're going to. We're going to get to it in the next segment, and I want to make sure we do it. So let's talk to Mike. Mike, the Reds are taxing me, brother.
Wallowing in mediocrity.
That's exactly what it is. This team built a 500 team, and they are playing exactly as they were constructed by management and ownership.
Yeah, it's a joke. I'm really disgusted and just fed up. I'm kind of with you. I'm at the point now where, you know, what are we going to just keep flapping our jaws about this miserable-ass situation? It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Do you think you're going to win a division and maybe do something in the playoffs with Kyle Farmer as your damn shortstop? You got to be out of your mind.
Here's the crazy thing, Mike. Kyle Farmer's not even on my list of concerns right now.
I know, because I'm listening to you. And the pitching is more absolutely more important. But Kyle...
No, I agree. I'm not happy with Kyle Farmer as shortstop under any... I think he's done okay. I mean, he's been serviceable, but when your shortstop is hitting what he's hitting like 220, 225, and you got him playing next to a guy on the other side of your infield on the left side of the infield that's making the he's not going to get to the Mendoza line this year.
No.
For the second year in a row, you can't have that kind of futility on the left side of your defense unless they are just absolute wizards with the glove, and neither of them are that.
No. And who in the hell is Jeff Carr?
You don't know Jeff F.F. Carr?
I don't know that guy from Adam. No.
He works here. He's a producer here at the station, and he runs the Locked On Reds podcast. He's very optimistic. That's why I call on Jeff sometimes, because I need somebody to try to talk me off the ledge. And Jeff's good at trying. I don't know that he's actually good at getting me there.
He was too convincing. You might want to get a different therapist there, big boy. Sounds like a nice young fella. I just don't know where the reality part comes in. But anyway, why don't we just... I did want to bring up one football thing to you before you dismiss me. And that was... So even if by a miracle you make the playoffs, how much damage are you going to do in the playoffs? Come on. Once you make the playoffs, anything can happen. All right, sure, anything can happen in the one-game playoff. After that, you're telling me they're going to beat the Giants or the Dodgers or the Padres in seven-game series? Forget about it.
We've seen what this bullpen looks like against the Padres, have we not?
Oh, God.
And the Giants, for that matter.
Hey, Chad, why don't we – I brought this up to Mo. Maybe I did to you, and if I do – smack me. Well, why are we not even considering looking at the structure of the Oakland A's, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Toronto Blue Jays? Because their payrolls are less than ours, and they're perpetually knocking on the door or in the playoffs.
I mean, I'm sure they would like to look at those or like to model themselves after those teams. Here's the difference. Those teams consistently – every year have guys in AAA that are ready to go.
So that's what I'm asking you. This is my ignorance, Chet. So that means that because I keep hearing we're doing really good in the farm system, like with the pitchers and stuff, but what about the whole you know, as far as the whole team goes, it sounds like these guys have it down on how to develop talent and bring it through.
Well, yeah, here's my big worry, Mike, in terms of, like, position guys. We've seen India now. We've seen Stevenson. Those two guys were ready. I don't know, like, you have a young bat that appears to be getting close to ready. But other than that, like, what's the other position players we've heard about from the minor leagues?
I haven't heard anything, brother.
And that's drafting and development. And that's – those teams clearly have done better than the Reds in their scouting departments and in their ability to get guys into their system, to get them developed, to get them ready to go. And then when they're called upon, they're able to play. And, it goes back to what I've said on David Bell for a long time, right? Like, David Bell says he's about analytics. But his idea of analytics is, like, right-handers face left-handers and left-handers face right-handers.
I love it. That's a simplification. I like that a lot.
But that's his idea of analytics. Like, when he talks after a game, he's super proud of himself because he got an 097 hitting righty up against a lefty that has an ERA of 0.63. But congratulations.
Hey, your impression was really good. It was almost like Rich Little good. That's pretty good, Chad. It was good. I thought it was kind of dead on myself. I really liked it.
You know what, Mike? We're trying to do things the right way. Just, you know, every day we're trying to get better, and you know we're dealing with a lot right now, and I'm really proud of these guys. I think they've done a great job.
My buddy today said, "What are you laughing at?" Because he was listening. Just now he was listening. He goes, "What are you laughing at?" And I said, "You don't know this, David Bell. My dude Chad's dead on, and it sounded awesome. I love it."
It's not as good as my Lou Brown from Major League, but my David Bell's not too bad.
Well, I thought it was pretty damn good, really, and it comes kind of natural to you.
Oh, we try, Mike. We try. Thanks for the call, brother. We'll talk soon.
Hey, I got a quick one. Just one quick one.
Okay.
So I go to a Catholic confirmation party up in Santa Maria the other day, which is pretty far up the Central Coast there, and it was going to be a big bash. And Grandma made these tamales, dude, and I was watching her make these tamales. Chad, they were the best tamales I have ever had. Grandma Georgiana made them, and then she had some chili rellenos. Oh, my God.
There's nothing quite like getting, like, legit, authentic Mexican food from a Mexican grandma that's been doing it her whole life and doesn't Americanize it.
Yeah.
There's nothing better. They're phenomenal.
It's a privilege. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mike. Let's shift focus for a little bit. We've talked about the Reds. We'll get back to them before we get out of here to set the stage for tonight. Wade Miley finally on the mound after the All-Star break. 5 days, game five. The guy that's pitched, he's been the best pitcher on the staff. And he finally gets on the mound tonight, the fifth game out of the All-Star break. I don't get it. Bengals. We are again seeing a disconnect between what is being said locally about the Bengals and what is being said nationally about the Bengals. Phone lines are open if you want to talk about this. 513-749-1530. Locally, spirits are high. There are a lot of people that think this team can get up to around 500. And while maybe not challenge for a playoff spot with the Ravens and the Browns at the top of the division, a team that can right their ship. A team that can start pointing in the right direction, heading towards year three of Joe Burrow in his five-year rookie window. Nationally, not so much. ESPN yesterday put out a 32-team power ranking of the next 3 years, not just a power ranking of where they think teams are going to be this year, a power ranking of the next three seasons. They had the Bengals 29th out of 32. Pro Football Focus did their power ranking for the Bengals for 2021. They had the Bengals 27th. That goes back to what we talked about around draft time, when all the mock drafts started coming out for 2022. And all of the mock drafts had the Bengals once again selecting in the top 10. That has not gone over well locally, because locally, there's excitement about Joe Burrow. There's excitement that this team is ready to turn the corner and ready to move on from two seasons where they combined for 6 wins. The two narratives don't match. I tend to side more with the national narrative than the local one. Maybe not over a 3-year period like ESPN does at that level. But I'm still a proponent of one of the things that Marvin Lewis said that has always stuck with me. I see better than I hear. I hear the Bengals are supposed to be improved. I don't know that they've done anything for me to see it yet. Let's take a break. 513-749-1530. Are the Bengals getting a fair shake by the national media? Is the national media taking the easy way out, the cheap way out, and crapping on the Bengals because it's the Bengals? Or are they able to see through the fog that we don't see through locally? Give me a call. Let me know what you think. 513-749-1530. This is Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Here we go. Getting some Bengals action in. We got a couple calls on the line. I'm excited. A chance to talk about something else. The Reds were depressing.
Y'all tucked in?
ESPN, in a 3-year projection power ranking, has the Bengals ranked 29th. For 2021, Pro Football Focus has a power ranking of the Bengals at 27th. As we talked about during the draft, or right after the draft, almost every draft, mock draft you saw for 2022 had the Bengals picking in the top 10. That is not the feeling that is going around town in Cincinnati. The feeling is, as we saw in the survey done on The Athletic yesterday by Paul Daner Jr. and Jay Morrison, most of this town expects this team, the majority of this town expects this team to be around 500. 7, 8, 9 wins, somewhere in that range. Vegas has them at 6.5. ESPN and Pro Football Focus obviously would take the under. Most fans in town are taking the over. Is it fair? Which one's right? Which one's wrong? Because they're so polar opposite, the feelings on this team and franchise, that one has to be right and one has to be wrong. Brad and Union, where are you on the projection, not only for this year for the Bengals, but going forward?
So my thought is that, so you're looking at the next 3 years, if they have the Bengals 29th and somehow picking again the top 10 the next 1 or 2 years, you're telling me that two more top 10 talents are not going to elevate them from the 29th best team in the NFL?
Well, yeah, you'd want to fire everybody in the building if you get four top 10 draft picks, including a franchise number one quarterback, and you can't do anything with it.
Yeah, so I don't think – I think it's easy to crap on Cincinnati because we're the one luckiest slash worst sports city in the United States. But I think it's also crazy to put us anywhere near the top 10. I think we'd be 18 to 20 –
yeah, I think that's where reasonably everybody thought that, you know, that they should be in that 18 to 22 range probably.
But we've never proven that we can be in that range recently. So it's easy. So if you're a sports writer, why are you going to put your neck on the line and say, hey, they're going to be 18, when it's easy to say, hey, they'll be 29, and then they win seven games. You say, well, they got lucky. Joe Burrow had a really good year. They'll suck again next year.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking the safe bet. And, I mean, look at Cincinnati football, right? Luke Fickell, that second year when they won 11 games. There still were very few people that believed in them, right? And then they come back year three, and they do it again. And then they come back year four, and they win the conference, and they take Georgia to the wire. And now that respect is built, right? So the national writers know, if I don't give Cincinnati respect, I look like an idiot. And that's kind of how this works, isn't it, Brad?
That's exactly how it works. If you're Pete Thamel, whoever those writers are, why would you put the Bengals at 16 and look like an idiot? They're not willing to do that. Everyone expects to find the Bengals between 29 and 32. So put them there, and everyone says, yeah, they haven't been good for 20 years. That's where they should be.
Yeah, I mean, there's no pushback. I appreciate it, Brad. Good point. Sure.
Thanks, Jeff.
Brett wants to talk Bengals. Brett, are you with the national media? Are you with the local people that think the Bengals are going to be better?
I find myself to be a little bit in the middle. I have a little bit of a unique perspective. I'm originally from Southeast Texas, so I'm new to the Cincinnati area, so I don't have that hometown bias. I find it hard to believe that they have them ranked 29, that you have teams like Washington football team. I get that they made
their defense is really good, Washington.
They have a very good defense, but this is an offensive-driven league, and if you don't have a quarterback, then you can't be considered in the top half of the league. The Bengals at least have the offensive perspective going on. They have a lot of firepower, and they added to that firepower. I know a lot of people are split up here on the Penei Sewell over Justin or Jamar Chase pick, but I think the way the NFL is going, you just got to have those unguardable wide receivers right now, and that offensive line can kind of, as long as you're in the middle of the pack in the offensive line and come back towards the middle ground. I know last year was a little bit of a rough case scenario, got your star quarterback hurt, but as long as you get back in the middle of the pack, that offensive line will figure itself out. But having three stud wide receivers, a star running back in Joe Mixon, and your number one quarterback coming back from injury, I mean, you have teams like the New York Giants ahead of the Bengals. You have the Las Vegas Raiders, Atlanta Falcons. I mean, in 3 years, Matt Ryan's not even on the Atlanta Falcons.
Right. The Steelers are at 17. The Steelers are 12 spots ahead of the Bengals.
The Steelers are, well, I mean, can Ben Roethlisberger throw the ball further than 20 yards this year? Because if not, I don't know. With that offensive line, Najee Harris, I get that's a good pick. But that offensive line didn't improve.
Well, yeah, the Steelers didn't get dinged for not addressing offensive line even a little bit.
No, not even at all. And I get that, you know, it kind of got a bad shake. You got the Browns looking really good. The Ravens are always super solid organization. But 29, I mean, that's putting them with Detroit Lions range, Houston Texans range. I think that's a little disrespectful.
Here is the one thing that sticks with me, Brad, and I don't know if you're new to town, if you know my history. I cover UC full-time, and I have a ton of respect for Luke Fickell as a football coach because I think he believes in the right things when it comes to how to win football games, and he's a firm believer that everything – it's the game of football is offense and defensive line driven.
Oh, right in the trenches, yeah.
And the Bengals are, if everything goes well this year, Jonah Williams comes back healthy, Riley Reiff can lock down some stability on the right side, Jackson Carmen can make the move to guard, Trey Hopkins gets back to healthy as quick as possible. If they can get to the middle of the pack on the offensive line, I agree with you. What we don't know, are they at the bottom of the pack on the defensive line? And if you are in today's NFL, you're going to get roasted defensively because you just don't have enough time to cover if you can't get a pass rush.
Yeah, that would be definitely the one glaring thing that I think Cincinnati should have addressed would be the D-line. I mean, they're going to be at a mismatch on more often than not on Sundays. But I think that offense, I think there's not a lot of NFL tape on Joe Burrow. And I think that if you can just be somewhat creative, Zach Taylor coming up with any kind of scheme on offense, with the amount of weapons you have, I mean, you can put up 30-plus points a game. And if your defense just can do anything to slow down the other opposing offense, I mean, you might be in a lot of shootouts, kind of like how Dallas was at the beginning of last year, but you're still coming up with more than four wins. I mean, 29th in the league, you got to win four or five games. And the Browns and the Ravens might be tough gets, but I think they can sweep Steelers this year.
That's so you're taking over 6.5.
I would get them at 7. What is it? This year, 7-10 this year. I think that's a good mark for them.
Figuring out math to 17 is a pain in the rear end, isn't it, Brett?
It really is. Your whole life, you've got a 16-game schedule. You know what 10-6 is every year.
Didn't realize this growing up, but we are all experts at math to 16.
Yeah. I can count 7, 14, 21, 28, you know, and then I can tell you what anyone's record would be with 16 games, but you throw that one extra game in, I feel like a dum-dum. I can't think of it.
You and me both, we're in the exact same boat, man. Great call. Appreciate it, Brett.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's universal, Taryn. That's so funny realizing that through this offseason that all of us that are fans of the NFL can do math to 16 like it's in our sleep, because we've been doing it every fall and winter for our entire lives. We know all of the variables on what it takes to get to 16. 17, we are screwed. If they get 11 wins, that's it. They can carry the one. 11-6. It happens on every call, every time we talk about record. And I do it. And Mo does it. I've heard Tony talk about it. Math to 17 is just not ingrained in our brain yet. But watch, by this time next year, or at worst one more year from now, we will all know all of the math to 17 because we will have lived all of the scenarios. That's good stuff. If you want to continue that conversation, give me a call, 513-749-1530, because I'm ready to be mad again at the Reds. There's something that just happened on the transaction wire that I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. If you want to talk Bengals, hit me up. If not, I'm going to have to double down on my Reds anger as we head towards, not even tonight. My brain is already past tonight, Taryn. Tonight hasn't even happened yet. All I can focus on tomorrow is Jeff Hoffman and Marcus Stroman. Thanks, Eddie. Eddie put that in my brain an hour ago, and it will not go away. More after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. We're going to have a lot of counter-programming options tomorrow, Taryn. A whole lot happening. The media days are starting around the country. So we got a lot to get to. I couldn't hear you.
Are you going to be involved in one of them?
The American is going virtual, so I probably will be firing away questions at AAC Media Day. Did I mention this yesterday on the air, or was it just off the air? I have been invited to participate in the American Athletic Conference preseason media poll. They usually are not too big of fans of us because we have been a little critical of the American Athletic Conference over the years. So it was big news. They reached out yesterday and invited me to participate in the preseason media poll, 1 through 11. I gotta pick the American Athletic Conference. So a lot of good stuff. Surprisingly, Dabo Swinney wants to go back to the two-team playoff. You know, the only people in the country that want to go back to the two-team playoff? Nick Saban and Dabo. Because they're 1-2 every year. Deion Sanders, somebody called, a media guy called him Deion. He got up and walked out. He said, you don't call Nick Saban Nick. Show me the same respect. Mark Stoops talked about how he is not a fan of moving to 9 games in the SEC, 9 SEC games. Because look how hard it was last year when we had to play 10. Yeah, you know why they want to play 8? Go look at Kentucky's non-conference schedule this year. That's exactly why they want to keep playing eight games in the SEC. December 19th, speaking of Kentucky, December 19th, Kentucky and Ohio State basketball in Vegas. You going? You already talked about how much money you're going to spend on events over the past the next couple months. Vegas, Wildcats, Buckeyes, basketball. Let's do one more call on the Bengals. We'll take a break, and then we'll cover the end of the Reds news for the day that's going to make me mad. Jay, Bengals, are you with the local narrative that this team's going to be a lot better, or the national narrative that they're still going to struggle?
I'm going to say I'm with the local narrative. I think it's actually pretty laughable that they have the Bengals at the over-under at 6.5. I actually just went and placed a bet on the boat for them to do hit the over. So I think the Bengals realistically are about 8 or 9 wins for the season.
The thing is, when I look at this schedule, I think realistically they have a shot to go 8 and 9. The problem is I don't think there's enough yet, or at least – I don't have enough information yet on this defense to comfortably say that they're going to be a team that's over 500. But also that in the NFL, that margin for error is so thin. 8 games could be 6 very easily with one injury, like one position group riddled by injury, or you lose a couple games at the gun that maybe you had in control and you let slip away late. And all of a sudden you're sitting at 6. And then you're drafting in the top 10 again. Like, it's a very thin line between it's an 8-win team or a 6-win team. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree with that. And I guess one of the other things I wanted to touch back on was I know you had talked about us being overlooked. If you go back and look at 2011 when we got A.J. Green and Andy Dalton, you looked at what ESPN was writing about the Bengals. We were going to finish 3rd or 4th in the AFC North.
Yeah, they made a huge jump. No question.
Right. And then we made the playoff, and the very next year, they said we were going to finish in 3rd place again. It wasn't until we made the playoff 3 years in a row to where they were like, well, maybe this team will finish 2nd in the AFC North. So Cincinnati, we're just one of those cities. Until we break the curse, we're always going to be overlooked.
But I think that's every city, though. If you're bad for 3-4 years, you don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. That's why I used the Luke Fickell argument, because Tommy Tuberville denigrated the UC brand, right? Like, what was really thought of to be a strong program was thought by the time Tuberville left to be in a complete disaster. It took 3 seasons for Luke Fickell to rebuild that, and he did it winning big. You're just not going to see national love for Cincinnati after winning 6 games in 2 years. So I understand some of the angst with it, but I also get where the national media is coming from. If you want that respect, earn it.
Yeah, we've got to get some W's so we can get some nationally televised games when they first come out with the schedule versus everybody recognizing by game 9 or 10 that we're a legitimate team, and then them swapping the schedules around and throwing the Bengals in week 15, 17, or 18 this year, right?
Yeah. Now, before we get out of here on this call, Jay, I do want to say this. The Bengals do have one thing working in their favor if they are to earn respect, and that is the national media loves Joe Burrow.
It's about time they love somebody in Cincinnati.
Right, but they do. Like, we know Joe Burrow is a media darling. So if he shows 7-8 wins with this team this year, next year you'll see a completely different narrative about the Bengals. But it's on them to get there.
You're right. You're right about that.
All right, appreciate the call, Jay. Thank you.
All right, have a good day.
That was good stuff. We got good stuff on the Bengals. They got 2.5 really good segments on the Bengals. This team's ready for training camp. That was my feeling last night, Taryn. They cashed out on the Reds last night. Cashed out. Now, if they win 5 in a row, everybody will be right back in. But as it stands, emotionally, this town just said, look, you don't respect us as fans, we don't respect you as a franchise. And that's aimed directly at Bob Castellini and ownership. And they made another move that I don't get. Vlad Gutierrez down. Austin Gouda, he's cheese, I don't know, is back up, which means
Jeff Hoffman's back in this rotation, and Vlad Gutierrez is out. That's what that means. They really picked Jeff Hoffman to be their fifth starter.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
I can't! Final break of the day. Back after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
Up, jumped out my bed. I'm in a two-man cell with my homie little half dead. Murder was the case
in the Wayback Machine.
Dear God, love it. I wonder, can you save me?
You're the only thing keeping me sane today. That and tacos, Taryn. Tacos and Taryn on Taco Tuesday. I blame Eddie ruined my day. And the Reds made it worse. Vlad Gutierrez is out. Option to Louisville. Austin Goudreau is up to add a bullpen arm. That means Jeff Hoffman, who starts tomorrow against Marcus Stroman, is your fifth starter, at least for the time being. They talked about a six-man rotation. I didn't buy it. I still don't buy it. I'll believe it when I see it. But they pulled the okey-doke on us, Taryn. They pulled the old – they bait and switched us. Look, we're going to a six-man rotation. Oh, just kidding. Vlad's down. Now it's five. We're back to five. Brutal. Still no Nick Castellanos. We've got sound from David Bell, but it made me so mad listening to it, I don't even want to subject you to it. Nick Castellanos is pretty clearly only available in break glass in case of emergency. And it doesn't sound like he's all that close to being back to me. Did it sound like that to you? Sound like he's a ways away. If he goes on the IL and they have to make him retroactive to Monday instead of Friday, oh, they better hope that doesn't happen between now and Thursday when I'm on these airwaves. Furious. India, Winker, Votto, Aquino, Naquin, Suarez, Barnhart, Farmer, Miley. The Reds lineup for tonight. Miley on the mound against Robert Stock. Robert Stock is 0-2 with a 7.88 ERA this season. If you can't win this one, we're going official cancel the season tomorrow if they lose tonight. They lose tonight. Brewers win tonight. They're playing right now. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. I'll be here tomorrow. Game being played. Afternoon game. We'll talk lots of football. So join us tomorrow at 3, Cincinnati's ESPN, 1530.
So I typed a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I'd CC round town. And hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Witness all around me, true. But I'm no island, peninsula maybe. Makes no sense, I know crazy. Give up all this pussy cat that's in my lap. No looking back, spaceships don't come equipped with rear view mirrors. They dip as quick as they can. The atmosphere is now ripped. I'm so